Let me guess, friend, you picked this episode because maybe you don't know what the fuck you're doing with sales. Maybe you suck at reading body languages, or maybe you're just trying to level up your game. We're gonna have a lot of fun in this episode. Also, I'm recording the intro this way because I couldn't fucking edit it correctly today. That's okay. Here you go. Here's your episode. It's a lot of fun. Me and Maggie. All right. Okay. See you there.
Hey guys, welcome back to Be Unemployable.
Hi.
Hi. As a reminder, I'm Maggie.
I
And
am really cute.
that's
Just kidding.
Jamie. You're so good at intros.
I am the crown molding queen, guys. I don't know if you know
She
this,
has
but
crown molding.
I have crown molding in my office, and I just felt like if you're not watching this on video, even if you are, it doesn't show right now. Here,
Yeah, I was like, you can't see it.
let me just look it. There it is. There's the crown molding.
See, what I like about it is the corner.
But the
Like,
corner, though. Do you like
oh my
look at this,
God.
guys? Okay, I'm coming back now.
It's just so nice.
I mean, yeah. I'm kind of a big deal. I don't know if you have
Is that
seen
a
my.
beer stein? Are
So
you drinking out of a beer stein?
okay, so this is the most ADHD friendly mug because it's really big. It has a handle.
I disagree.
Really?
I spill when I get a drink, when I get something like that. I dribble down the front of me like I am 3 years old.
Oh.
I can't drink out of something that big.
That's
I drink out of
interesting.
small cups.
So I hate doing that because I have to, like, I drink so much that, because I'm a huge drunk, just kidding. But, like, I drink so much throughout the day that it's like I will just be dehydrated if my cups aren't large because it's like, oh, well, I'm in hyper focus mode. So either I'm going to have three giant cups when I get started, or I'm just going to be dehydrated and you'll have to take me to the hospital.
You
So
don't have to go to the hospital for like one afternoon of dehydration.
that is true. I guess sometimes I'm just slightly dramatic. So yeah, I had my other drink and this one earlier today.
Holy.
Yeah,
Just so you
so
guys, if you're not watching on video, these beer steins are literally the bigger than her head, and
like
she has two of
actually
them.
this is hilarious. Yeah, so this
Oh
one
my God.
had my Zip Fizz in water because I have that every morning because I'm autistic and I have to have the same ritual every morning. And this one, okay, let me just tell you about a life hack. Okay. So Panera has their unlimited like tea and coffee for like $11.99. So normally I put bubbly water like three quarters, and then the last quarter I'll put in like their lemonade, the charged lemonade, because like if it's
Super good,
all
by the way. That
so
charged lemonade
good,
is
so
like,
good.
oof,
So
Tits McGee, man.
it's so good. Well, they didn't have bubbly water there, and I'm like, oh my God, my entire routine is off. This is an outrage. So I brought it home, just the straight tea, lemonade, and I'm like, oh my God, I have LaCroix here, so I can mix it, and now I have my Panera drink all week long. It's a big
Because
deal for me.
bubbly water is disgusting.
But I love it.
You're like, okay, but hear me out. No,
Me
it's
out
not.
really good. Like, I don't have any other defense, just like, but actually, I like
You're like, but hear me out. You're wrong.
it. Listen, I'd be a phenomenal lawyer because I'd be up there, I'd be like, listen, actually, that's not right. And then I would go sit back down. And I'd
You're
be
like,
like, yeah.
here's my impression of Jamie as an attorney. Okay, but hear me out. No.
Literally what it would be. That is literally what it would be. Like this doesn't, no, this isn't adding up at all,
You're like, objection, Your Honor.
but
That's That's not right.
That's it's so objection. And that's like also goes for when I worked for other people other than myself, because if it didn't make sense to me, like, I'm just not going to do it. And having no idea that I was autistic or like the oppositional defiant.
Sit back. Okay, there you go.
Oh, sorry. Am I a little loud right now?
You're like, do I sound like a pilot on an airplane?
Hello. Well,
pardon. That's you.
That's you. Right, oh my God. How's the sound now? How do I sound?
It's fine.
Okay. Thank you.
Because you were just like, thank
you, ladies and gentlemen, we will be taking off.
That was you for a second.
Make sure you fasten your seatbelts before we go. If you hit turbulence, in the case that we do hit water, there is a life jacket under your seat. Anyway,
that's actually the flight attendant's job. But hear me out.
I'm in a really goofy mood today.
Like, I'm so silly goofy. Here we go.
I'm so silly goofy. But that's why I'm a terrible employee, because if someone tells me to do something that doesn't make sense, I won't even say that I'm not going to do it. I just won't. And I'm just like, I'm going to just wait for them to confront me. And then I'm going to say, well, do you want me to keep doing this thing that makes no sense? And actually, you're literally paying me. To create results, and this thing that you're making me do isn't creating results. So do you really want me to go back to the other thing? And it turns out that other people didn't like that confrontation, especially coming from a 15-year-old appearing woman. So
yeah, mm-hmm. I had that problem when I worked in corporate too, because yeah. I used to look young.
Well, you still do, and I was going to ask you, especially because you look much younger than your age even now, so I'm assuming that you also looked young, like really young in your 20s when you were working for corporate. And
yeah.
Like, was that a challenge to be seen as someone who knows your shit?
And it was a huge challenge, because when I turned – I in my 20s and early 30s, mm-hmm. I worked in finance, and when I was – I wasn't 30 yet, so I was in my late 20s. I got promoted, and my boss actually created the position for me, mm-hmm. because I told him I was going to leave the department. This right. was the boss, if you've listened to past episodes, I think I've talked about it, the boss who got arrested for embezzling. The FBI mm-hmm. arrested him.
He's a stand-up guy, I assume.
Yeah. So, he sure was. But he got arrested. Anyway, he created the position for me. So he had to go to HR, and it took a long time. But mm-hmm. I got promoted when people who had been in the department for 15, 20 years mm-hmm. were still, like, I had been the same level as them. And right. then I got promoted, and then I was over them.
Right.
And I was in my late 20s. And it's yeah. like, well, there's a reason. Now, it also needs to be said that when I started at that company and in that department, that I would complete my work mm-hmm. and I would go to my boss and I would say, hey, I'm done. Like, what do you want me to do? Because mm-hmm. I was new and I was like, what do you want me to do?
Right.
And he would be like, well, go see if anyone else needs help. And I'm like,
AKA, oh, okay. Do everyone else's job.
And I'd be like, oh, okay. So, like, those people who didn't get promoted literally told me to work slower when I would walk around and be like, does anyone need help with anything? Because I don't have anything to do. Oh, my gosh. And they would be like, you need to work slower. You're making us all look bad. There was one person in particular that I'm thinking of when I say that. But she would be like, you need to work slower.
Wow.
And I was like, that's
oh,
cool.
I'm sorry. Is your neurotypical brain having a hard time keeping up?
And I was just like, oh. And I literally, I had to slow down because I would run out of work. So yeah. What I did to slow down, and at the time I hadn't been diagnosed with ADHD, so I didn't know,
mm-hmm.
is I would pull up books on Kindle,
mm-hmm.
and I would keep my phone next to my keyboard, and I would mm-hmm. keep a book up, and I would read. I would finish like entire books at work
wow.
because I needed to slow down. So I would just read books while I was working because I needed to figure out ways to like basically slow down, because otherwise I was done with my day by like, you know, noon, 1 o'clock.
Right.
And they didn't let you leave.
Like, right.
It wasn't like, hey, we're paying you to do X amount of work. It was like, hey, we're paying you for this amount of hours.
And let's talk about how that makes no sense. So as an autistic person, that's still, like, I'm trying to understand why. Like, if I'm hiring somebody, I don't give a shit if the task I give you only takes you a minute. The mm-hmm. fact that it takes you a minute instead of 2 days, great. I should be paying you more. You're so efficient. You can now start on the next thing for me. Why would I pay mm-hmm. you less? So I genuinely don't understand that logic of it's training people to not be as efficient in order to make enough to pay their bills. Whereas if you just utilize them to their full potential and paid them what they're producing, they would be happier. As a business, you'd be better. And
it's just, I literally got promoted and I took on about 3 times as much work, and uh-huh. I still had time to read.
Yeah. Yeah.
I still had time to read.
Yeah.
The only reason I ever left that job was because I couldn't get promoted further mm-hmm. because of my boss embezzling.
Wow.
It ruined anyone who was in that department when it happened. It ruined our reputations because we were tied to him, even though we didn't do anything.
Right.
We were literally investigated by the FBI and cleared.
That's insane.
Yeah.
That's insane. So he was kind of like a cock block for your career. He's a career mm-hmm. cock block.
Which was actually really good, because otherwise I would still work there.
Yeah. Ew, working for other people? That's disgusting.
And that's the reality of it. It's like, that company is built for lifers, like people who just come in and work there for life. That's what that company is built for.
Yeah. I think I just threw up in my mouth thinking about that, working for somebody else for my life. Yeah.
If my boss hadn't been embezzling, I would have definitely been one of them.
Did you ever cry on the way to that job? Like,
not like I did at AT&T.
Okay. Okay.
I don't know if I was supposed to name, like, I think I can name drop, because why not? I used to cry on my way to AT&T. I worked mm-hmm. in business-to-business sales at mm-hmm. AT&T, and I worked there for 5 years, and I sobbed at the end. Yeah. That's how I knew I had to leave. I would cry.
Yeah. So if you're currently crying really hard on your way to or from work, maybe it's time to consider working somewhere else.
Dude, when I gave my notice, I still had all this vacation time.
Uh-huh.
And I used all my vacation time for my 2 weeks
instead of the payout,
because I couldn't imagine coming in for those 2 weeks. I literally just couldn't imagine it.
That's when you know that they have just fucking destroyed your mental health. Like, when you'd rather
moved us, like, from the most beautiful view upstairs, like looking out into, I mean, we had a street, but we also had trees
mm-hmm.
into the basement. And when they moved us,
why
to the basement,
would they do that?
I barely had any. I made it like a year after they moved us into the basement.
I don't understand. listen, I understand that I've only been in business for like 9 months, but sometimes I'm just like, I think I need to go in there and talk to management. Here, want me to revamp things? Because this, like, even something is so simple. How can you not see how that's going to affect productivity, mental health, like everything?
Well, the first month we were in the basement, I was the first person to be recognized with our new, like recognition thing that they were doing. And It was across the Midwest region, which is 5 states.
Mm-hmm.
And I was extremely good. So I was the first person to be recognized.
That's incredible.
It was a huge deal because I'm exceptionally good at sales. So I was like, this is awesome. And then staying in the basement sucked it out of me. It got to a point where we would walk in the doors and have to go either down the stairs or down the elevator. And it was like, I can't keep going to a basement. I can't go to a basement every day. No. Don't get me wrong. I don't go outside here in my house.
Yeah.
But right now I have my windows.
Yeah. Like, I was going to say, you're by a window. Like my desk is by a window. So even the days that I'm working on the business all day, like I'm by a window.
Yeah. I'm by a window. I have grow lights.
Yeah.
For my plants. Like,
yeah.
I'm always by light. And except in our main living room where we now have blackout all always pulled because it's an entertainment room. And we're literally painting the walls this amazing deep purple because we're making it more like a theater.
Ooh, I love that.
But that has nothing to, like, that's because it's supposed to look like a theater in there. We've got all new speakers in there. The sound is insane. The sound is so insane that, like, and we've always had surround sound.
Yeah.
Like, I grew up with surround sound. Like, we've always had it. But
yeah,
it's so insane now that there's sounds that I didn't even know were in the movie that we're hearing.
That's wild. That's awesome. That's really awesome.
But all this, we should probably get into the topic because it's been 16 minutes, almost 17 minutes.
Okay, I'm gonna note to put in the show notes. Like, you know, after like 16 minutes, we start talking about.
I would say 17 because once the music is in.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah. Yep. So this week we're talking. You probably know what we're talking about because you saw the episode title. We're talking about sales.
Oh. Here we are talking about sales.
Again. So. We're talking about sales again, and the reason we're talking about sales again is because, number one, you guys loved it. Wow.
Yeah. Wow.
And number two, I'm really good at talking about sales, and there's always more to learn.
Yeah.
In the sales arena.
Yeah, listen, I was the one that suggested this, and my reason was just like, you know what? I have, 4 hours a week allocated to talk to Maggie, but I'm like, how can I get even more coaching out of her? I'm just going to suggest things I want to learn about. So this is just this is just a selfish decision. You just happen to be here for it. You are so welcome. Let me know what you want me to suggest next week as well.
Seriously, whatever you guys want to hear about, like, I will talk about it.
Yeah.
And as you know, Jamie will always talk about the executive function side of stuff. And I will always gladly talk about the business side of things.
Yes.
When it comes to sales here, I get a couple questions a lot. And let's start with that. The questions I get the most are, how do you actually get people to want to talk to you? Mm-hmm. And then the other question is, how do I know that I, like, how do I know when they're interested?
Ooh. Can I answer the first one based off of what you taught me? And then you can tell me if this is how you were going to start it.
Yes. Okay.
So the way that you get someone to want to talk to you is by giving them something tangible and giving them value before you say anything about your services at all, period.
Correct.
And that's how, for those who have listened to the previous sales episode, that's how I found Maggie. I was literally in a Facebook group asking, does anybody do marketing without social media? And there were, 17,000 people who were social media managers and things that said, yes, you have to have it. There's no way around it. And Maggie commented, yeah, sometimes, or I've been meaning to care more about social media. I have $40,000 weeks sometimes. And at the time you were grossing over $500,000 a year. And now I know it's closer to 7 figures. But we went back and forth even publicly and you gave me some resources. Then I begged you for a call where you then gave me a couple more book recommendations and strategies. And that was before you even mentioned your services, which I was the one that brought up your services. Hey, I saw that you had this program. What do you think? And you're like, yeah, that would help you with this. And I'm like, great, here is my credit card. And you're like, actually, I don't sign on the spot because I actually care about people with ADHD. Go think about it. And then I sign later. Anyway, giving value before you even mention anything about your services is how you're going to get anybody to talk to you. How did I do?
Yes. That is 100% true. We've covered it before, but I need to add on to it because that's 100% true. That is everything I would normally tell you. Now, what do you do if you are not hanging out in a Facebook group or you're not hanging out somewhere where you can give value like that in advance? What do you do?
You ask Maggie during coaching because that's what I'm doing right now.
This isn't coaching, by the way. Like, I'm not charging Jamie for recording
a podcast. No, she's not. But that's a great question because right now that's what I am doing, which is hilarious because we talked first about how not to use social media. And now I've created such a positive experience in my Facebook group that I enjoy hanging out there. And that's how I'm doing it. But no, I genuinely am not sure how I would go about that.
Okay. So let's say that you have no clue, right? Like you don't hang out in Facebook groups or you're just not into it.
Mm-hmm.
So you will search people out who need your services.
Ooh.
Now with ADHD, this is scary because a lot of us have RSD as well, right? Which is rejection sensitivity dysphoria.
I've literally never experienced that in my entire life. I'm like an anomaly. And I'm just like, oh, wow. I everything just rolls right off my back. I take nothing to heart ever. Like I have never had crippling RSD to where it derailed my entire day. So I don't know what that feels like. Will you please tell me?
So Jamie's a liar. Objection. Objection. No. So this is the thing with RSD. It will ruin your life if you allow it to.
That's rejection sensitivity dysphoria. For those who are maybe newly diagnosed and aren't sure of what RSD means, you're going to learn a lot about it, especially if you're deep diving into ADHD research, which you likely are because when we're diagnosed, we do that. Okay, and continue. Just want to make sure because sometimes I forget to say things like that in case someone's like new to the community and they're not sure.
What's really cute about Jamie is that she has no idea I already said that.
Wait, you did?
Because she was busy putting on a show, so she didn't notice that I said it.
That's hilarious. I genuinely didn't. I've been here the whole time, too. We've been making eye contact and everything. Well, as much as an autistic person makes eye contact.
You have ADHD, so it's okay. She also has auditory processing disorder, so between the two, she had no idea.
I'm a good time. Listen.
Okay. She's a good time. She's a good time, Sally. So anyway, when you have RSD, it's really difficult to search people out, like to search them out and be like, hey, so I noticed you suck at this and you need my services. That's really hard to do. But here's the reality. You can search them out and then provide them value.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to offer anything. So if you really hate Facebook groups, you really hate whatever it is, you can search them out and provide value the same way you would in a Facebook group. You can say, if it's a local business, you can walk in and say, like, say you're a web designer or a graphic designer, and you go in and their menu is atrocious. You can go in and say to the server, you could say, hey, who handles like the menu and all of the design decisions around here.
Mm-hmm.
And they will tell you because what do they have to lose? Or they'll say, I have no idea. I started yesterday.
Yeah.
Okay. No idea. I started yesterday. It's like, oh, okay, cool. I was just wondering because this is really hard to read.
Yeah. And yeah.
What will happen is that person will take that, hey, I got feedback that this is really hard to read.
Uh-huh.
To somebody.
Mm-hmm.
So that next time you come in, you can ask the same question and you'll likely get put in touch with somebody. Now, if it's a more experienced person, they'll tell you. They'll be like, oh, that's the owner so-and-so.
Mm-hmm.
They handle all of that. Great. Do you know how I could get in touch with them? Because this is really hard to read and I wanted to give them a little bit of feedback.
Yeah.
And then they'll likely say, hey, if you just call this number between these hours and ask for them. So it'll take some work, but you can absolutely do this. Now, the reason I'm suggesting it, it's hard work when you have ADHD.
Mm-hmm.
But I used to work as a marketing manager for a restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And we took calls like this from people.
Oh, no way.
And as a marketing manager, I would mm-hmm. sit down with these people.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we hired them. Sometimes we told them to go pound sand. Not really.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes I would say, this is amazing feedback. We're not at a place to hire you right now.
Right.
But I would save their feedback.
Mm-hmm.
So just because you are not, you know, you're not comfortable talking to people, you're not comfortable doing those things right now, you still can do it in a really easy way
mm-hmm.
by starting with asking someone, hey, who do I talk to about this?
Right.
And then on a day you're feeling brave, you can reach out and talk to somebody. And all you have to do is offer value, offer feedback. And if they like your feedback, they'll be like, great, do you offer that service? Or mm-hmm. I'm assuming a lot of people will just say, I'm assuming you offer that. Like, why would you provide mm-hmm. me this value if you didn't offer it? Mm-hmm. And then it opens it up into a conversation on the how to get those services.
Okay.
But you still come to it in the same place of or come from the same place of service
mm-hmm.
that you would if you were in a Facebook group.
Absolutely.
And it's a longer process. You don't have the whole conversation right then and there.
Right. Right.
But when I worked in the restaurant industry, when I was a marketing manager, and I was also a marketing manager across the United States for a staffing company.
Mm-hmm.
And we had locations all over the U.S. And I handled all of that. And we did that with people like that, too. Like, people would come in and want to pitch us things, and I would take those meetings.
Yeah.
So it's very common for this to happen. And people buy this way.
Yeah.
I understand that it feels like cold calling, but it doesn't if you have done research ahead of time. Those are the mm-hmm. only meetings I would take is someone said, hey, I have a concern about this. And I wanted to talk to you about this in your business that I have actually noticed.
I have a question about this. Does this at all go with the Dream 100 where you reach out to people who also serve your clientele? Or is this just is that a totally different thing?
That's a totally different thing.
Okay. Okay.
Dream 100 is about building your affiliate network.
Mm-hmm.
And that's about having people do the sales for you.
That makes sense. Thank you.
So if what Jamie just brought up is about harnessing people who work with similar or serve similar populations, audiences, mm-hmm. and having them partnering with them on selling your products and then giving them some of the money. Mm-hmm. So through an affiliate relationship, that's what Jamie's referring to. That is also a really great way, but you do need to have a little bit more of a robust presence or a reason that they would partner with you. be it financial, whatever it is. So that's different, but it's affiliates. We should definitely do an episode on affiliates.
I'm writing it down because it turns out that I have ADHD. So let's talk about that sometimes.
Every time we say we'll do something, if we don't write it down, you'll never believe this. Doesn't. But due to ADHD, it doesn't happen unless it's written down.
Anyway.
So that's the first part is how do you get people? How do you get people to talk to if you're not hanging out in groups?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And then like from there, okay, so you're sitting in front of them, mm-hmm. right? Or you're in front of them in a DM. Deliver mm-hmm. the value. And do not get overeager. And make it about them.
Mm-hmm.
This is where a lot of people get lost. And I said it in the first sales, but mm-hmm. you are not the star of the show in a sales conversation as a service provider.
Mm-mm.
This show is not about you.
No.
This is 100% about the other person.
Mm-hmm.
And it has nothing to do with what you have done in the past, what you are capable of doing for them. It has everything to do with where they are right now and where they want to go.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't matter if it's coaching, if it's like in my case, if it's design, you know, mm-hmm. if it's something like I don't even know what. Right now, I'm like, those are the only two types of businesses that exist. I'm 100% sure of it. I don't know. I don't even know any other types of businesses right now. But whatever type, like, okay, real estate. Like, if you're someone absolutely hates their home, like home design,
mm-hmm.
like interior design,
mm-hmm.
that is a huge one. Because when you are miserable in your home,
mm-hmm.
that bleeds through.
Yeah.
And unless you're like my husband, who I could literally just pile crap around him and he wouldn't even notice. Like,
my gosh,
he would never complain about it. Right.
Right.
So
right.
Yeah. You would never talk to him.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever it is, it's all about where are you? Where do you want to be? And then that spot in between, that middle ground, is where you're going to talk to them because that's where their pain is.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to talk to them about what that feels like and why they need to not exist in that anymore. And we need mm-hmm. to get them to the other side.
Yeah. Can I share, as someone who's newer to business, the aha moments that you've taught me and that I've implemented and where it's like, holy shit, this actually works, especially to like newbies.
Yeah, I would love that. I would absolutely love that.
So when we're new to sales, we're not taught by someone who's a world-class like salesperson like Maggie is, we think that we have to convince somebody that they need our services, that they will just not be okay without us, that we are the end-all be-all, like if you don't go with us, you're missing out. And when you detach from the outcome, I mean completely detach, sit on a call with somebody, sit in front of them, help them genuinely, listen to their pain points, and validate their experiences, and at the end of the call say, listen, oh, it turns out I didn't put my phone on Do Not Disturb again. I think I've done this every single time. I apologize. When you really do that and then end the call with, hey, you know what? I know that you are determined, intelligent, and that you're going to find something that works for you, whether it's me or not me. Mm-hmm. And it was really cool. I did a consult last week and we were really vibing. And then I could tell that she expected me to be like hardcore pushing my services. And at the end, I was like, I'm like, I don't sign like on the same day. I said, guess what? We have ADHD. A lot of times we make decisions based out of people pleasing and impulsivity. And I'm here to actually serve the community, not take advantage of them. So I'm purposely not going to ask you if you want to come to my masterclass, if you want my coaching, I'm purposely not going to. And guess what? I'm not even going to be the one that follows up with you to ask you that. I'm going to have my teammate Katie follow up with you, because I want you to know that whatever you decide, you're going to do amazing things, and I'm here if you want it and not if you don't. That has had such an incredible reaction versus the trying to convince, because in the beginning, not knowing what the fuck I'm doing, I absolutely went into that convincing energy. Guess what? It's terrible. It's repulsive. Like
nobody wants it.
Nobody wants it. It's like a used car salesman. There's a reason why I feel slimy. It is. So anyway, that's, vulnerable tip from someone who is much newer to business than Maggie is. She's a seasoned pro.
Yeah. When you switch into that, like, listen, mm-hmm. I want to do what's best for you. Like,
mm-hmm.
because you have to trust. And here's where the mindset comes for you as a business owner. You have to trust that the right people will be in your orbit for mm-hmm. you to sign.
Mm-hmm.
And that the right people will come to you.
Mm-hmm.
And when you switch into convincing energy, the right people are going to run away from you.
Absolutely. So
by switching into, hey, what will be, will be.
Mm-hmm.
And serving everybody the same, like everybody gets that mm-hmm. that kind of energy from you, that,
yeah.
that service-based energy. And yeah. then that, hey, I'm giving it up, like, I'm going to let it go.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever comes back, comes back.
Mm-hmm.
The right people show up.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you get to do your magic with the right people.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's a lot of, it's that energy shift is a lot of the work. The questions are the second part, asking the right questions,
mm-hmm.
because you need to make sure you're on the same page. You don't want to get into a relationship with the wrong people. And that goes for business. That goes for everything.
Mm-hmm.
But that energy shift of being like, listen, I'm not here to make a quick buck. And I certainly don't want to take advantage of somebody that I know impulsively buys.
Yeah.
And that comes to us with ADHD, but you can do the same thing with your people if you want. Now, if it's somebody who, like, it's time sensitive, you might not want to do that. But
mm-hmm.
if you are serving a population that tends to have something like that,
mm-hmm.
like tends to have an impulsivity issue,
mm-hmm.
be kind to them. Or if it's somebody that you know needs a follow-up nudge,
mm-hmm.
have that built into your process.
I will literally ask them. I'll say, hey, if you want, I can have one of my teammates send you an ADHD friendly reminder text to ask you on a certain day. That I don't have to do that, but just as a courtesy to you, because I know that we've got ADHD. And then they'll say yes or no. And I haven't had someone tell me no yet, quite honestly, because they actually do want it.
Right. And you can literally ask them what they need.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying bend over backwards for somebody during a sales process. That's absolutely not what you want to do.
No.
Are you going to share the tip that I told you about expert status?
Which one? Because we've talked a lot about expert status and I can't think of the exact one.
So here's the other tip. During the sales process, you do not want to align yourself too much with the person you're talking to, because then you are viewed as a friend, not an expert.
Yeah.
So when you align yourself too much with them, with whoever it is you're talking to,
mm-hmm.
you lose your expert status, because what happens is they view you guys as the same, like me and you become the same person.
Mm-hmm.
And it becomes, how can they help me if they're just like me?
Mm-hmm.
Instead of, you can do it so I can do it, which is mm-hmm. which is what many of us mean when we're like, oh my gosh, me too.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we mean.
Right.
And that's fine. Once they're a client, you can absolutely share, oh my gosh, me too. Mm-hmm. I did the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
But during the sales process, they are still learning to trust you and trust your expert status. So if you go, oh my gosh, me too many mm-hmm. times, or I do that all the time, those kind of mm-hmm. things, you become a friend. And when you become a friend, there is no way that a friend can help them, because mm-hmm. if they were able to, then their friends would have helped them already. So they mm-hmm. think, there's no way you can help me. You're just like me.
Right. And that's something I had to learn the hard way, because I had a couple consults where I am the expert, but I appeared as someone who, with that friend energy, I said me too many times. Yeah, I've struggled with that too. What I meant was, I struggled with that in the past before I had my shit together. And now I have systems, and I've got a badass system, and I can tailor it to, like, I'm so fucking confident that I can help any woman with ADHD in some way, shape, or form, no matter what the problem is. But that wasn't transferred during those couple consults. And I didn't even realize that wanting to relate to them, because as people with ADHD, neurodivergent, we've gone our entire lives not being understood. So I wanted them to feel like they were understood. But you can make somebody feel understood without giving the friend energy and staying in the expert status. And that's an art. And don't expect yourself to do that on your first consult call or first sales call, whatever the hell you call it, because it's going to take some trial and error.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you're going to get off calls and you're going to be like, blew that.
Yeah.
And the person might still sign up. So don't be mm-hmm. surprised if that happens. And then you're going to get off ones and you're going to be like, nailed it perfectly. Oh my God, I'm amazing. Like, mm-hmm. I should have recorded that so the whole world could listen.
Right.
Because I'm so good.
Yeah.
And then that person will never talk to you again.
Yeah.
And that's not something you did.
No.
That's sometimes people just aren't a match. Right. And it has nothing to do with how you delivered a call. It has mm-hmm. to do with, like, energetic matches.
Mm-hmm.
So all you can do is show up and deliver the best possible value and the best possible service that you can.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's a match, it's a match. If it's not, it's not. It's not a big deal. That's the thing that you need to be aware of in sales, is that it's endless. There's room for all of us, number mm-hmm. one, and the opportunity is literally endless.
There is. You gave me a really great visual the day that that you did sales training with me, and it's like, if somebody says no to you, just imagine a really, 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 really long line of people, and like, if it's a no, it's like, okay, they're out, but look, the next person's already right in front of you. So I have thought about that, and that helps me to stay in that serving energy so that I can literally just help them. And it's so funny, because the less that I have been focused on the sale, the more it has happened, because I genuinely am just showing how much I give a fuck. And if mm-hmm. you sit down and have a conversation with me, either you're blind or deaf, or you're going to know that I actually genuinely give a fuck about you. It's obvious.
Yeah. And it's, you can't hide it.
No.
That's why coming from that, like, hey, that serving energy and switching mm-hmm. out of convincing and realizing the other person should be talking most of the call, if it's a call, letting them talk.
Yeah.
Because the few things, and I know I've said this before and I won't stop saying it. People buy from people, and people buy the idea that you understand their problem better than anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they buy.
Yeah.
So if you haven't convinced the person that, number one, you're a person,
mm-hmm.
not a sales robot.
Mm-hmm.
And number two, that you understand. That's why you ask questions and listen.
Yeah.
And then you repeat back to them, like, okay, so did I understand this? Like, does this make sense? Because mm-hmm. it's possible we're all neurodivergent. So it's very possible for us to get a mixed message from somebody mm-hmm. because we think we heard something, but that's not what they said. So repeat mm-hmm. it back. Make sure you're yep. clear. Mm-hmm. And as long as they understand that, you know, you understand better than everybody else, that's what people buy.
Yeah. Yeah. And that that part of paraphrasing and repeating back, especially like Maggie's really good at reading people, reading their faces, reading their body language. She understands innuendos. I do not. That I have almost zero of that. So it's really crucial since I lean so much into the verbal being straightforward. Like, is this what you meant? Because if not, there could be an underlying, you know, read between the lines thing that I'm totally missing. So it's been, even as someone, if you have a hard time reading cues, you can still be really successful with this. And literally just ask for clarity and they will tell you, and they are really happy you're asking. It shows how much you care. Don't feel like yeah. you're annoying them. They really, like, for the first time in their life, someone's actually asking them, is this like really what's going on? I'm going to validate you. So I just want mm-hmm. to share that because not everyone's good at cues, but I just want them to know, like, it doesn't, like, it matters. Yes, it matters. I was going to say it doesn't matter, but you can still be really good at this even with a brain that works differently.
Yep. You don't have to be an expert at facial expressions, at all of the little micro expressions that go into a sales conversation or mm-hmm. any conversation.
Yeah.
I read them really well now. I didn't always.
You've worked really hard at it.
I've read a ton of books. Yeah. I've taken courses. Yep. I've made a point to know how to read them.
Yes.
So I can read them extremely well.
Mm-hmm.
And if anyone needs resources on how, like, what I've done, feel free to ask and I will share that with you. I will
Vanessa
share
Vanessa
Van
Edwards, two books, and also People School, just a place to start.
Yeah. Those are places to start.
Yeah.
And it's, those are going to get you going if you have yeah. hard time. But it's really important though that you validate and clarify, because once they feel understood and once you understand, so it's mm-hmm. not just they feel understood, but you need to genuinely understand.
Right.
You have to be like, I think I feel like I made them feel understood, so my job mm-hmm. is done. It's like, no, you need to actually understand and care.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what creates a sale.
Yep.
So, yeah, that's going to be my tidbit for this one, building on last one. So I think every time we talk sales, we'll just keep adding to what we talked about on the episode before.
As long as you remember, because I don't even remember. I remember last time we talked about not sending hey girl messages and things, but, you know, I have ADHD, so...
We talked a lot about like, yeah, we talked a lot about like inquiring and all of that stuff.
Okay.
This one's a lot better, like a lot deeper.
Yeah. Yeah.
Into what we need to do. And we'll go deeper next time. So all of the sales podcasts are going to go really well together. All the sales episodes.
Mm-hmm.
So if you listen to all of them, if we just keep doing them, it'll be like an entire sales training. Oh my gosh.
Wow. Yeah, that's yeah. really cool. I love that.
So Jamie, tell us more about what you're working on. You mentioned a masterclass.
Oh
question
my gosh,
mark.
I'm doing a masterclass. Yeah, I'm really, really, really excited. So I have a masterclass called Unfuck My ADHD Life. Fuck has an asterisk for you. Because listen, if you don't, if you got really offended by cursing, definitely don't learn from me, but I'll refer you to other people who don't sparkle their sentences with curse words every so often. But anyway, so the 3-day masterclass is from October 26th through the 28th. And during the 3 days, day number one, we're going to be talking about productivity, what actually works for an ADHD brain, how how your brain works as an ADHD person, why the neurotypical advice just does not work, and it's going to be ended with a really amazing activity. Day two is going to be about relationships, what masking is, how it actually damages you, how people-pleasing actually damages your relationship, how to say no without feeling or sounding like an asshole, and another really, really fun activity at the end of that one, because I don't believe in just learning. I believe in actually doing. You should be getting a transformation from everything that you're learning from a coach or whatnot. And if you're not, then you should fire them. And day three is going to be about energy, because I think I titled it energy, aka why am I so fucking exhausted? So it goes into, it's so funny because a lot of us, our focus is productivity, but we don't realize that if we don't have good boundaries within our relationships, that we are exhausted, and that plays into productivity.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah. So we touch on all three of those because they are all incredibly interconnected. So if your focus is to be more productive, then guess what, friend? We need to also talk about relationships, boundaries, energy, sensory needs. We need to know all of that shit to be able to focus and get things done. And I'm addressing all of that in the masterclass. I'm so freaking excited. I have the checkout set up. I just have to, you know, do some things on the tech side and publish it. And Maggie has to tell me the design isn't terrible before I put it out, because I don't want to make her cry being the designer that she is.
I looked at it briefly earlier today and it looked pretty good.
I tried basing it off of the website you did for me.
Yeah, it looked pretty good. We just had some quick tweaks.
Yeah.
And I was pretty satisfied.
Thank you. Thank you.
That's one thing when you work with me, you don't just get a regular, like, I'm not a regular coach. I'm a cool coach.
Seriously, though. I really, really appreciate it.
Like, I will look at all of your shit and be like, yay, no, what are you doing here? Right. Yes. Okay, do it.
Yeah.
So
that's exciting. Yes.
So exciting. I'm so excited for her masterclass.
Thank you. Thank you. The investment is, drumroll, please, only $99, because I want as many people as possible to be able to take this information and, like, have their life transformed.
It's literally like nothing compared to what you get. It's like nothing.
Yeah. Part of me was like, are people going to think it's not that valuable since I'm, like, putting the price so low? No. But I'm like, no. Just like, I just want as many people to be able to take it and get a transformation as possible. So that's why I'm putting it so low. And also for ADHD Awareness Month, I'm throwing in a month of body doubling too. So you'll get an entire month of body doubling as well in the Discord app. So you'll actually be able to interact with everyone that's signing up, like, even before the class, which is really awesome too.
That's pretty badass.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm so excited. So I will, we'll see if that's in the show notes, but I don't know if I'm going to have the checkout completely done by the time that I publish this. Maybe it'll be in next week. I don't know. What should I do?
We'll see. We definitely won't troubleshoot this on air.
Yeah, definitely not on air. We'll be here for a minute. But
you may or may not see it. However, if you just join Jamie's Facebook group or the podcast's great Facebook group, both of those links will be in the show notes. And as soon as the checkout is live, it will be posted in those two Facebook groups.
Yes, absolutely. If you're not in those Facebook groups, like, what are you even doing with your life? Like, if you don't have a Facebook, I understand. But everyone else, I'm like, come on. Like, we're literally the coolest people that have probably ever been born. And I don't understand why you don't want to hang out with us. I have RSD now. You have to come to my group so that I don't have a trauma response. Like, now it's your responsibility.
Yeah, I like it. I like it when Jamie throws all of her therapy out the window about not letting other people determined. I like it. It's cool.
I had my therapist had a really cool thing to me regarding business, because of course I'm working through RSD and things, and she's like, I just want to tell you that that you can have amazing consults and sometimes they're not going to sign because they're not ready to do the work. And especially when people are paying out of their own pocket, if yes. they're not ready to do the work, they're not going to. It doesn't matter how amazing you are. And it was really cool to have someone who's a therapist and has her own really successful practice tell me that.
Yeah.
Yeah. She also has ADHD and I love her. I found a great therapist. So
that's anyway. That is so true because those yeah. people, and you can normally, well, I can normally tell, like, and she probably can tell too.
Mm-hmm.
If she's not autistic, she can probably tell.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of cues that people kick off when they're not ready.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really quite sad when you know that the person can get an amazing transformation,
mm-hmm.
but they just don't want to spend any money on it.
Yeah. Yeah.
They want it to be done for them for free. And it's like that you can't outsource your push-ups, buddy. You got to put some skin in the game and then do it.
You can't. And it's really, I used to have the, I mean, shit, you've helped me work through so many money blocks. And I used to think that money was hard to come by. And now I'm like, oh, I'm going to manifest this much money. And then I get a text message saying like, yeah, your $1,000 will be here in like 3 months. I'm like, okay, cool. Like yeah. That literally just happened.
It's literally, you can get money from anywhere. And that sounds so, I always thought that was so made up. I really did.
Yeah.
When back in the day when people would say things like that, like, oh, money's so easy to come by and like you can manifest anything. And don't get me wrong, manifesting only works when you put the action behind it.
Yes. You can't just like think about money. Like, but if you're focused on, if you're focused on,
I just thought of money and it appeared.
Like, listen, like, I visualized my bank account getting bigger and I did nothing practical. So this law of attraction is bullshit. No, you actually have to go do things. It's crazy.
Right. Like that's how it works is it's like when people talk about manifesting, it's not like I just thought a thought and a thought like everything happened.
Like everything just like fell into place.
No. If you take actions to back up your thoughts and you don't worry about like how will this happen? You just start moving.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Shit falls into place.
Yeah.
That's how the world works.
Yeah. And if you don't know what to do on your own, which you likely don't because you're not an expert, then you can either spend the next 30 years trying to figure it the fuck out or just, you know, maybe hire a coach who's already in the place that you want to be. It blows my mind when people, like, I will tell them that I'm doing coaching with you, that I'm learning so much, and I'm just like, it's the best investment. I'll tell them the dollar number because, like, coaching with you, like, an hour a week is almost $1,500 a month, which is nothing, right, because of what I'm gaining, and that's how I feel. And I'll have people be like, oh, my God, that seems like a lot. I'm like, do you have a successful business? Are you learning from a nearly seven-figure business owner? This is a fucking steal. She has done over $100,000 in programs and coaching herself. There's literally nothing that I have asked her that she doesn't have concrete step-by-step how to do this. And you aren't willing to invest that into having a business that's thriving so you don't have to work for somebody else anymore?
I'm like, When someone says that it's too expensive, I'm like, okay, what's the price of staying where you're at?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't overcome objections. That's part of it is I don't do that.
Yeah. You won't convince them when you're like, all right, well.
If someone tells me I'm too expensive, I'm like, okay, bye.
Yeah.
Bye. Like, I'm sorry about your budget, bro.
Uh-huh. But
that's one of my first thoughts is,
yeah.
How expensive is it to stay where you are?
Yeah. Like,
what's that cost?
Yeah. Like your mental health, your relationships, your
What does that cost? Now, if you have $200 in your bank account, then I am not going to be in your budget.
then maybe you should talk to me about body doubling and I'll send you some book recommendations. Hey, listen, you can do something with something. Like, if you don't have any money, find mentors. When I didn't have money, I sought more people that were intelligent. Like, I was resourceful as fuck. Even when I didn't have any money, I was reading
books. If you have $0,
yeah,
you can still make progress even if you can't afford.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you genuinely can't afford to work with me, that's okay.
Yeah.
That's okay. That is not, I can give you book recommendations. Jamie can give you book recommendations. Mm-hmm. And I will help you in that sense.
Yeah.
Like, I will send you a bunch of stuff. But if you have the money and you're not willing to part with it, you are going to remain stuck.
Mm-hmm.
Because of it's a choice you're making now. Now it's a choice.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of having circumstances that aren't allowing you to progress, mm-hmm. you are now making a choice. Mm-hmm. And when you have circumstances that aren't allowing you to progress, I will help you to progress in spite of your circumstances.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Like,
it's different. It's different.
Yeah.
When you make a conscious choice to stay stuck, then I have a problem.
I want to help everybody so much that I was talking to Joe about, I'm like, can I just like create an account with a, you know, really big named person who does, you know, audio books, you know, with the company I'm talking about. I'm like, can I just like share one account and like put that account in my Facebook group so that people know that there's a library of books if they can't afford a book. And Joe's like, I don't think that's going to work. And they're going to know that you're logging in from so many different places. So I don't think that's going to work. So I'm just like, that's where my heart's at. I want to help everyone so much that even when there's people that are like really, really down and out, and I know that there is, I even want to help them. So I'm just like, how can I send you everything?
You could just go live, have a book club, go live and just read the book. No, I don't. I think that's illegal. I think that's illegal.
Is it really?
Yeah. Unless you read stuff in the public domain.
If you don't have the money to buy a book on Amazon and you don't have a library card or the way to get to a library or something, then go on thriftbooks.com because their books are like between like $3 and $5. And I bought all 30 of the recommendations that Maggie gave me for like less than $200. So do that.
Also, that's the other thing is if you have a library card and you really need audiobooks, just download Libby.
Yeah, download Libby. Absolutely.
There you go. Oh my god, solving the world's problems that they didn't even know they had.
Listen,
that aren't real problems. Solving the world's not pressing issues.
Yes.
With Jamie and Maggie.
You're welcome. We're gonna actually rebrand to that. Talking about things that are fun to talk about but don't really matter. That's the new podcast episode.
That's us.
Hi.
Okay, guys. Well, we're gonna go solve some other non-pressing issues. So
I'm gonna go. I'm gonna go fill up my beer mugs again with some more water. So yeah,
her steins are empty. So they're empty. She needs another like 144.
Listen, I need at least two drinks at a time to stim with, or else I just can't do life. So I'm gonna go do that.
I actively have three water bottles next to me.
I was going to ask you when we started how many drinks you had next to you, because I've got my coffee cup from this morning next to me as well, but
I don't do different types. I just do a ton of them. Well, a ton of the same drink. I always do a ton of water bottles.
Oh, really? You don't like need like different tastes or like temperatures or textures?
I'm not into that. I like coffee from this one coffee place by us.
Okay.
Like, that Panera lemonade is really good, but otherwise I just drink water.
How far is Panera from you?
You know how far it is. You've been there.
Maggie, I don't have a sense of direction. And also don't ask me directions about anything. I can live in the same area for 2 years and not know, like, unless I've been there so many times. So the fact that I've been there a few times, I don't remember. Wait, is it the Panera we met at for the first time? when we did sales training. Yeah. How far is that from your house? Because I didn't go to your house that day.
It's also the one we drove through on our way to the studio.
That's right. It is close by.
Yeah, it's about 5 to 6 minutes from my house.
Okay.
And it has a drive through. Yeah. But I don't go there. I don't ever go out.
Yeah.
And it's directly across the street from the place where that has my coffee that I like.
Oh, okay. I was gonna say, like, I thought about getting you like a membership, just like as like a thanks for being awesome thing, but I know you don't like to leave the house.
Well, I would have Logan get it.
Oh, would Logan do that? Because I'll totally do that.
Yeah, Logan would do that. Are you kidding?
Okay, great. Let me just like put that on my list. Get Maggie.
Logan does almost all my running for me. Like yesterday, I napped yesterday.
Uh-huh.
And my nap accidentally turned into not waking up until 7 o'clock at night.
Uh-huh.
And when I woke up, Logan had just gotten home from a friend's house and Sean and Mason had eaten. So Logan went out and got dinner for just the two of us.
Because
I was like, I'm really hungry and I'm not in the mood to do anything about it. Looking at the kitchen, I was like, no, I don't think so.
Yeah.
So Logan went out and got us sandwiches.
Joe's been sick the last couple days, and the one day he didn't make food and it was like 5 p.m. and I'm just like, oh, I wonder why I'm lightheaded and I have a headache. I'm like, Joe didn't feed me today. I'm going to die.
That's my life.
Like, I'm just like, you literally, and I told another friend of mine, I'm like, listen, if something ever happens that Joe decides to leave me, we're going to have to get married. What you're going to have to do is feed me on a daily basis and tell me I'm pretty. Those are the two things I really do need, is that validation and food, because otherwise I'm just going to die.
That's like, okay, listeners, please tell us if your relationship is similar to ours, if that's something, if that's an ADHD thing, because Sean tells me every day, he tells me I'm gorgeous, which we all know is a lie.
That is, do not say that shit. I will fucking go off on this podcast.
Dude, I will be sitting there disgusting and unshowered, and he'll be like, you're so beautiful. You're so gorgeous. And I'm like, thanks. And he makes sure I'm fed. And like, he also makes sure I take my medicine.
Joe's really good at that too. Yeah.
He makes sure I take my medicine and he makes sure the animals get their medicine. So
he went
to a concert. He went to a concert and he was at the concert at the evening time that they get their meds.
Mm-hmm.
Which was also, the dogs and I get our meds at the same time because basically the same. And
right.
He literally sent me a text at the time and was like, meds for you and the dogs.
Aww. And ADHD, like, love language.
I was like, thank you. I will know. Because the dogs have to take, two of the dogs take trazodone. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, they will eat the other dog. Well, Sam won't eat anybody. Sam is 8 pounds and is missing his top front teeth. So he's not eating anybody.
They're all so cute.
But he will certainly growl a bunch.
Yeah.
All right, listeners. You got banter at the beginning, banter at the end, and good tips in the middle. Do you love it?
You're welcome.
You love it. It wouldn't be an ADHD podcast without it.
Join our Facebook groups.
Facebook group, masterclass. It's all good.
Yeah.
It's all good, man.
It's all good.
It's all good, man. Get it?
I did. I did watch that. Did you watch Breaking Bad on Better Call Saul?
I watched Breaking Bad all the way up to the last two episodes.
Was there a reason for that?
Yeah, I don't like it when things end.
Oh my gosh, this is hilarious. This is hilarious.
That's how I am.
That is hilarious.
I get all the way up to like season finales and then I stop watching.
Because you're not emotionally ready to detach from the characters.
Yeah, I'm an emotionally healthy person. It's fine.
Yeah.
Everything's fine. Don't worry about me.
Listen, like, we don't struggle with anxious attachment styles at all. Like, what is that? And,
like, when Twin Peaks came back, the continuation of Twin mm-hmm. Peaks came back all those years later. Mm-hmm. It was, like, 2 or 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. I watched everything but the last episode.
Oh, my gosh. That's hilarious.
Because I love Twin Peaks. Like, I have a Twin Peaks tattoo. Like, I couldn't deal with.
Oh, really?
There being a final episode. So, aww. Like, even though I watched all of the originals, I won't watch the final episode of the comeback.
So what that means is that when we're, like, in our 80s and 90s, this podcast will still be going because, like, we can't just end it. Like, listen.
I can abandon things. I just can't end them.
You're going to have to not do that anytime soon because I'm working through a lot of abandonment issues with my therapist. And if, like, you just leave, it's not going to be okay.
You're like, I'm really not okay with abandonment. And you're really not good with ending things. So I guess that means we're together forever. Like, hey, guys, we're together forever. Here we are.
I mean, all right. Friend. Yeah. Oh, sorry. I'll say it.
We're done with the podcast. We're going to go talk off air.
Bye, guys.
Bye.